Was that everybody? Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's love him one more time, shall we? Praise God. What a beautiful morning or evening. Amen. Come on, let's praise him just a minute. Amen. I started bringing some papers with me to the pulpit because I see folks do that and do very well. Preach real good. And if it don't work, I'm going to quit bringing them to the pulpit. Praise God. It's good to be in church tonight. Good to be in Racine. What can I say about the pastor? I don't know anybody that don't love Brother Epley. Sister Epley, where are you? There you go. What about it for the First Lady, folks? Amen. You know, I do want to give honor to these great men of God. I don't want to take a long time with this, but some things need to be said. Brother Burbidge, Brother Gross, and these other men, Brother Jones. I tell you, I think this thing is a God thing this year. I really do. And I appreciate so much Elder Epley. He's been a blessing to me so many times. And all these great men here, I can't start calling names. But I'm telling you, it's good to have friends. And I appreciate every one of them here tonight. They didn't come to hear me, but I am here. And I am glad they're here. Say praise the Lord. You know, since I've been in this house tonight, basically, I've been smiling. I don't smile all the time. People just maybe not altogether smile all the time. But I think sometime God has a way of letting us know what he thinks about us through the attitude of the preacher. How does God have of telling us if it don't come through the man of God? And I am telling you, I'm feeling strong in my spirit that the Holy Ghost is smiling on this meeting right now. Say praise the Lord. There's no hype bone in me. I am what I am. In fact, I'll be 75 here the 31st of this month. Had the Holy Ghost. This is my 60th year. So I have been down the road a time or two. And I tell you, I still am in awe of this glorious gospel and truth. Now, I got to be me. I can't be anything else but me. Brother Elder Gross and myself had a little bite to eat today. And we got back in the room, in my room. And I did, Elder, there was something come over me. And I do really, I really have a good sermon. But I'm not going to preach it tonight. But I really do. I got one. I can't think of it right now. But I got one. But when I got back, something come over me. And when I heard this Holy Ghost miracle and healing and prayer, I'm going to be a forerunner of that. God put something in my heart this evening. I'm not the man. Here's the man. But I'm the forerunner of the man. Brother Jones always seems to do better than me. And he'll do better than me in this. I'm not skilled. I'm not. I'm just me. I'm not trying to be like anybody else. I never really seen anybody I wanted to be like. Now, I feel good. I don't want a silly spirit to come on me, but I do feel good. I want you to open your Bible with me to a very, very... Well, if it's in the Bible, you know it's old. But we're going to 2 Kings, and I'm going to preach a little while tonight. And I want God to do what He wants to do tonight. And if you've heard me, you know I resort to this oft. But I can do nothing else since I went to the room this evening. It's this or nothing. Verse number one, now they're cried. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. And saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor, our adversary, is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house. Then as an afterthought, she said, oh, save a pot of oil. One translation said a small pot of oil. Then he said, go. It's amazing how many of God's words begin with go. Borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. And let me give you a clue. Don't borrow a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and shall set aside that which is full. I'm just going to read the other two verses. So she went from him. She shut the door. There's some things you must shut out, and some things you must shut in upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Came to pass that when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, there's not a vessel more, and they all stayed, or it stopped flowing. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go. There's that word again. Sell the all, pay thy debt, live thou and of thy children of the rest, and let the church say amen. You may be seated. I've got a lot of things I want to say, and I'll be watching the clock for you, so you don't have to watch it. Praise God. I don't use a calendar. I do use a watch. A lot of things I want to say tonight. I want to say that it's what's left that really counts. And I'd like to say, I'm going to speak, Elder, if I can, for this week. This is about your tomorrow. I think this week has the potential, not because I'm here, but because God's here. I think that this service tonight is about tomorrow. We seem to be care more about the past than God cares about tomorrow. The Bible said that this woman cried. She didn't whine, and she didn't whimper, and she didn't complain. She cried. That was a prayer. It was forceful. It was loud. It was violent. It caught the attention of God. It laid hold of the attention of the man of God. It was a desperate cry. God moves toward the desperate. And my little word tonight I have for this service, and I had it about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and it's deliverance. Deliverance. Everybody say deliverance. And that's been on my mind since 3 o'clock. Now, that frightens some people. Some people are afraid of that word deliverance. I have tried to preach conferences and use one word, deliverance. And that will shut the whole thing down. You couldn't get an amen. wouldn't a preacher in the building say amen? Because they didn't know what I was going to do. And they didn't know what I was going to say, and they wasn't going to get up in that tree with me. They see what I was going to do. Amen. But I feel deliverance in the house. I feel deliverance in the house. And I have found out that I can't help everybody anymore. Paul said, I tried to be everything to everybody, but said, now I've got one thing on my mind, and that's crossing that finish line and hearing him say, well done. In those end of his days, he wasn't trying to be everything to everybody. He was just trying to make sure he made it. But I have understood that I can't help everybody. So I've narrowed my little focus and my little contribution down to folks that need help. And I've narrowed it down to folks that are desperate. You can hardly hide a desperate person. If there's one desperate person in the house, he's going to stand out before this service is over. I just want to tell you, this is the perfect will of God tomorrow night. And God is in it. And I want to help lay a little foundation. I don't want to hurt nothing. But I want to lay a little foundation here and tell you that God's up to something big. I'm going to tell you God's up to something big. If God has a problem, I said, if he does, it's doing a big thing with small thinking people. If he has a problem, it's doing something big with a small thinking people. Somebody said, we're so narrow-minded, you can almost shoot both eyes out with one BB. Some of you not even going to smile. It's going to be a hard night for you. Because I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling all right. Desperation, it's got its own sound. You can't fake it. I've heard it, Brother Archer. I've been in services and I'd hear it way over here. Elder Hispanic lady way over here in California one night. I heard that. It was so holy. It was so right. I felt like I was on holy ground. But we were all praying in there, and I had a right, but that was that voice and that word, and I've heard it, and it's getting where less and less people can make that cry that gets a hold of God. But I feel it here tonight. Now, you know I'm not the healer, but I know the healer. And you know I'm not a miracle worker. Too many of you men know me, but I know the miracle worker. And I know what I felt this afternoon, and when I feel that, I get a holy boldness on me. Let me talk to you about this dear lady for a while. Her life demanded a change. It demanded. As long as you just come to see, and thank God you come to visit. Thank God you come to one of the greatest camp meetings in North America. One of the greatest pastors. Boy, I'm putting you up there, Elder. In North America. But I'm telling you why you come. If you got a need, it's going to be met in this camp meeting. Like I say, I don't really know how to hype anything. I really don't. But she prayed a prayer that put God to work. I want to say it one more time. This week, in my mind, is about your tomorrow. Your tomorrow. And this lady was living between two thieves. Her yesterday and her tomorrow. Yesterday was dead. Tomorrow is very frightening. The creditor has come for my boys. And I got to have a change tonight. I'm going to narrow down who I can help tonight. And somewhere, if this is going to fit you, I'm telling you, God is going to meet with you tonight. And you're going to go home different. I made up my mind a long time ago, I can't help preachers. They are my peers. They are my superiors. And I know my limitations. And all I can help is men and women who have needs. I don't have to pretend to be everything to everybody. My message is a message of hope. And change can only happen in the context of hope. And when you lose hope, you can't change. Say praise the Lord. Change can only happen in the context of hope. I want to tell somebody, you've been listening to a wrong voice. It's not over and you're not spent. Everything's not spent. I'm going to tell you that this is one of the most dire situations in your Bible. Please, and hear me, one night, one service changed her whole future. It don't really take God a long time to do anything. In fact, He's already working right now. Her miracle started whenever she started praying. That miracle started, brother, when she cried. She didn't care who saw her. You understand, God never did quit healing cancer. Please understand, we have folks that have need and everybody's not healed. And it don't happen all the time, but we're sure to thankful when it does. But we had a man that had pancreatic cancer, brother, for 2 years. And Sunday night he comes in. And brother, he says, all my numbers are good. The cancer's gone. Hey, yeah, you got a right to celebrate. I'm just telling you, God never did stop healing people. Say, here we go again. Yeah, here we go again. You better hope we keep going again. We had a lady in our church, our secretary, had cancer and just at VA hospital, MD Anderson, and she got a clean bill of health this week. Praise God. Let me tell you, folks, what he said here is this. He said, now wait a minute. You've lost, what do you have left? It's not what you spent. It's not what you wasted. It's not what has been ruined. The Holy Ghost is saying, what do you have left? That Holy Ghost is a sensitive instrument. We want to talk about our loss, and we want to talk, magnify what we would, how we should have done better. We want to blame ourselves for the shape we're in. The man didn't say, well, why are you in this shape? Shame on you. I'm going to tell you, brother, God don't care how you come here tonight, but He cares how you're going to leave. God's concerned about how you walk out of here tonight. Said, now, what can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have? And brother, she magnified the lost and she minimized what she had left. And he said, now wait a minute. God's up to a big thing. And all of a sudden, a word of wisdom come on that man. And when she left this building, or wherever it was, all she had in her world was the word, the rhema, at it. She didn't have a miracle. To us, if it don't happen in church, it don't happen. I'm going to tell you, God started something in church that night. But she had to get it out of the house. And she had to get it to her house. She never dreamed that her miracle would take place at her house. Oh, let me preach just a little bit tonight. You can't believe the unbelief that's in this building right now. You can't believe the sophisticated unbelief that don't believe a word I'm saying. I'm going to tell you, I think we got you outnumbered tonight. There comes a time in life when nothing is acceptable but complete, total deliverance. She did not need a blessing alone. She did not need encouragement alone. She did not need money alone. She needed a new life. She needed a faith renewed. She needed a new vision. Everything in her body, soul, and spirit had been reduced to non-functional and non-negotiable, and it needed everything she had needed renewed. Say, praise the Lord. And he said, what do you have left? And I'm going to tell you, what you have left is enough. You can go anywhere from here tonight. I'm not a psych guy. I'm not here to pep you up. I'm here to tell you, brother, that we're coming against real demons in this building right now. Because I know what's going to happen this week. I know what's going to happen. I got a confirmation tomorrow. I'm just here tonight. And he said, now, what you're going to have to do now, you're going to have, let me give you a clue. You go home, take what you get at church, take the plan home, work the plan, go borrow pops. You're going to be the pot lady. And let me give you a clue. Don't borrow just a few. God's up to something big in your life. You know what I did one night? Brother Lambeth was there, and I was preaching about faith. You know, when you get holiness, so, you know, I couldn't add to that holiness church. I couldn't add to that one God church. But I'm going to tell you, they didn't have an ounce of faith. It was perfect. And they just sat there and looked at me like some of you have looked at me ever since I've been up here. I don't have to worry about whether you're for me or not. I know your countenance tells me that. But I was preaching, brother. And I said, God is up to something big. And brother, it went stone quite just like it. I just said that. So they didn't believe it. Didn't believe it. Next day, the pastor's daughter, grown lady, said, Brother McMullen, when you said God's up to something big here, said we thought here, how could it happen here? And it couldn't with their faith. I said, we didn't think here nothing else you said.
We got home and we got to talking about it. He said something big's going to happen. Brother, I ask why not now? That night, there was a woman that had palsy, that was in her last stage of palsy. Her mother had died with palsy. Her grandmother had died with palsy. She was beyond the doctor's care. And I just simply said, and this is the way it works with me, brother. I just say it, and I preach it. I'm clumsy. I'm awkward. But I'm not afraid to say it. And I'm going to tell you, any man of God in here, you don't have to be skilled to say it. Just say it. God will honor your word. I'm not instructing you, preacher. I'm just telling you. Brother, you say it. God will stand behind that word. And I didn't know who it was, but 3 o'clock that morning, this lady, about 75, she woke up and she says, I'm healed. And God healed that woman right there. And that next morning, brother, she came and she was running and running and running. And I'm going to tell you, so help me, this is the way it worked. The man that was going to preach that morning, he come to put out the fire I started last night. And his message was, sure, God heals, but it takes a long time. Healing is a process. And he was to put out the fire and she was running out. Hey, it's all right, folks. Well, after you was there, you may be seated. I told this story about a man. I was preaching there, and I don't like to use that word "I," but that's all I know about me. And I know who I am. I know where I live. I know where I pastor. I could act big here, but I got to go home. And so, Brother Smith had heart trouble, had open bypasses and two or three major surgeries, and he's mowing yard to start the church, and he was mowing yard to make his ways to making his living, and said he called his wife and said, I wanted to go to church tonight, but said, I know what's happening right here. I know what's happening. Said, I'm having a heart attack, and he said, I pulled over and said, something told me, he said, you go to church tonight, and I'll have a word for you. Let me be myself here, folks. I'm slow, but I'm trying to go somewhere. And so he came to church and he said, Brother McMullen, while the service was going on and while the preaching was going on, said, I felt that pain and I put my hand there and he said, I have healed your heart tonight. I didn't know anything about it for 6 months. This is the way it happens with me. God don't need any co-gods and he don't need any junior gods and he don't need any help. Brother, he just does it. And I don't never even know about it for 3 to 5 months. And it's happened over and over. But God does it. And it's usually the next day. I'm just going, can I tell some things for the glory of God? Be seated. I done got off my text. But I was out in Oregon and I was preaching and that was a man came in, pastor, and this is just the way it works. I'm just telling you what I know and I feel that same spirit here tonight. I'm not a healer, but I know the healer. And I know when he's in the house. And so I was preaching and this man had an aneurysm inoperable aneurysm. It just found it, and he was a very popular man there in that group. And I wasn't. We're not in fellowship. He's a good man. We're friends. And but I couldn't get him off my mind. Every time I look over there, I'd see him, Brother Perez, right about where you're sitting. I'd see him, and that head just got. And I stopped, and I said, "Brother, don't worry about that aneurysm another time." That's all I said. I don't know why I said it. I do know it's God. I went ahead and preached my little sermon. He looked at his wife. He said, "Did you hear what Brother McMullen said?" And she said, "No, what did he say?" It wasn't profound. He said, "Brother McMullen said I'm healed." He did? Said yes. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. Brother, listen to me. God taught me a mighty lesson right then. That greater is the man that can receive the word than the man that can speak it. I did not say that with a lot of faith. I just said it. And he embraced it. And he lived it. And he talked about it. And he told everybody, "I'm healed. I'm healed. I didn't know about it. I'm healed." So 6 months later, he came to another meeting where I was. And he got up and testified about it. He said, I went home. I went back to see that same doctor. They took that x-ray and said, my brain was just as normal as it ever has been. And said, "God heal me that night." Can somebody get a little faith here tonight? God's up to something big here tonight. God's up to something big this week. I know what I know. Amen. Brother Hamilton, you may be seated. Was in a meeting in Kansas, and I was trying my best to preach on deliverance and healing. Sometime you got it by yourself. I don't have it by myself tonight. They did everything they could do, but sometime you just have it by yourself. Well, if you're going to preach on deliverance, big boy, you better be able to handle it. It's yours. Do it. We ain't going to help you. That's unbelief. Listen, folks, if I had sickness in my body, I'd be helping the preacher. If I had somebody that needed deliverance, I'd be helping the preacher. If I had somebody at home that needed healing, I'd be saying, "Amen, preacher. I'd be getting in this meeting tomorrow night. I'd be here early. I'd be here in prayer." I mean, we'd be these. You don't need to sit there and look at me like I'm something to be auctioned off. And I couldn't. It didn't go. And you may be seated. I said, "Well, I know what God told me." And the law altars filled up, and then. I said, wait a minute. This is God. I know. I said, and I thanked them for coming, but I said, "Step." But I said, "Now I want the chronics to come. You've got some beyond the doctors. You've got some incurables. I'm not a healer, brother. I don't take this responsibility. If God don't heal them, either they don't get healed. I don't pretend. I don't even know about it." That little boy over here named Daniel, I found that out 3 months later. He had no control over any of his facilities, his faculties. He couldn't do it. He just lay there. He had seizures since his birth. His name was Daniel. There was nothing medical science could do for this baby. And we just prayed. But healing was in the house. The mama. Greater is, somebody needs to make up their mind, "I'm healed tonight. This week will not go by without my healing take place in Jesus' name. This is how it works, brother. Some folks just sit there and look at you, and other folks say, that's the reason I can't help everybody. I don't even try. I'm after somebody that's got a spirit of infirmity. I'm after somebody that's got a sickness that the doctor can't help. I'm after somebody that's got a wife or a child at home. You're who I'm preaching to. I'm telling you, God is a good God. I heard that. God wants to do good things. He delights in it. And He delights in doing good things for you and me. Please be seated. This is not fancy or whatever. I'm just bearing my heart. And so we prayed. And there was a lady that I didn't even see that boy. I didn't even remember praying for that child. He was three years old, I believe. And he just seemed like I remember it now when she called back. But there was a woman that had scoliosis. Am I saying it right? Of the spine, the backbone, the curvature? 39 years! 39 years. She had to go home and have another surgery. Her husband pastored a church. The next night, the elder leading the service called her up there. She was walking with her cane. God had healed her. Just in the service, just like this. I'm telling you, it's all right to lay hands on people. That's the Bible. It's all right to anoint them. But I'm telling you, God can do it right now. I'm just telling you, I'm the forerunner, brother. The man's coming tomorrow night to preach it. Pray for you. But I'm just telling you, I'm here to set the stage. God is up to something big. Somebody needs to mark it down on your calendar this week. This is when my miracle began. She brought the cane up there, and I went to preach for them about 6 months later. And she said, Brother McMullen, the man told me, said, the first time in 12 years she slept. Don't tell me God's not, has changed. I can't help it if you're not. I'm just telling you what really happens. And there were several there, but what I was going to tell you about Daniel, I didn't even know it. This is the way it happens to me. And how can you get credit for something you don't even know? And so God says, I'll handle this big boy. And so the pastor called me. We was on our way in from a meeting, me and my wife. I put it on speakerphone. Brother McMullen, do you remember Daniel? I said, no, I don't remember Daniel. You remember the meeting? I said, yes, sir. He said, you remember the little boy over there? I said, Brother, I'm sorry. I didn't even remember the child. That's how pitiful I am. He said, well, you prayed for him? I said, okay. I faked it a little bit there. He said, God healed that baby. I said, that baby has not had a seizure since that night. Hey, I know this happens all the time, but I think we ought to give God glory. Because it's in a meeting just like this. It's in a meeting just like this. That men of doubt and unbelief don't know what to do. Please be seated. And said he hasn't had a 3 months, and said he hasn't had a seizure. Is this all right, Elder Epley? He said, now, she said, what did Brother McMullen say about the medicine? I said, hey, I didn't have nothing to do with it. I'm not a doctor. I said, well, what do you think, Brother McMullen? You think we ought to cut his medicine out? I said, 3 months? No seizure? Duh, I didn't say that. I said, you know, if it's me, I wouldn't give him any more. So that next meeting I went, the pastor come up and said, I want you to meet somebody. I said, who is this? He said, this is Daniel. This kid standing back there, ready to take the world on. I said, hey, Daniel, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. He said, I'm in the first grade. I said, I'm the smartest boy in the first grade. I said, I don't doubt that, buddy. Come on now. I'm going to tell you, God can do anything. I said, God can do anything. Don't ever doubt God doing everything, anything. There is no telling what's going to happen this week. He said, Daniel's got something for you. You may be seated. There's a piece of paper with blue watercolor just all over it. And he said, I want to give that to you. I said, man, thank you, Daniel. Tears come to my eyes. Put it on our most well-traveled place, the refrigerator door. Just called it blue. I'm telling you, God's a big God. I said, God's a big God. If you don't care who gets the glory, God will do it anywhere, anytime. Nobody's ever called me a healer because I'm not. Everybody I pray for, they do not get healed. I was called down to, and I'm just, can I say this without boasting, brother? I know who I am. Brother Gross, you know I'm not a healer. If I did, I'd heal your wife. It might heal my wife. You know what? I'd love for Sister Gross to get healed in this meeting. I'd love for Brother Gross to get healed in this meeting. I'd love for Sister Epley to get healed in this meeting. How many of you got somebody here that you want God to do it? Come on. They called me and said, Brother McMullen said, yeah, our niece has had a wreck and she's in the hospital emergency. And said, go down and pray. And so I just went down and prayed. And she's there and I said, how you doing? And they didn't tell me anything was what was wrong, but it was bad. It was bad. And I just prayed for her. That's all I did. Just prayed for her. Turn around and walk out. Didn't feel nothing. Didn't feel any special thing. She didn't feel a thing when he told her to go get those pots. There was no emotion there. I'm going to tell you, her circumstance, if it had been better, would not have helped her get her healing. Her obedience is what brought her healing. Understand, with every new beginning, God puts an emphasis on obedience. I didn't know that she had been in a wreck and the pelvic area had been broken and crushed into four places and just were separated. And I didn't know it, and I don't know who else prayed, but I know I prayed, and I walked out, and about, here we go. Several months later, they're talking about Brother McMullen going to heal. Pray for her, and she's healed. I said, who is that? Boy, I'm powerful. I don't even know what I'm doing. It's just God, folks. You get the atmosphere just right. Oh, I'm not trying to hype anything. Let me talk a little bit more. I'll be through tonight. Then I'm going to be sitting over there smiling, saying, preach, Brother Gross, Brother Burbage, Brother Jones. She had Lyme's disease. Anybody know what Lyme's disease is? That's a bad dude. She couldn't even walk. Hadn't been up in days. And she said, you know, said it just seems like brother, it just seems like he cares. Call him. You know, it's pitiful. When if you just seem like you care, you stand out. They remember you. It just seems like Brother McMullen cares. I just went in, was talking there, and I said, hey, you know what? It's going to be different in the morning. I'm just talking like I talk. Brother, we walked out of the room and she got up. Praise God. You say, hey, brother, you're trying to make yourself something. No, I'm bragging on God. I said, I'm that same spirit in this house tonight. It's a hard sell, but I believe it. God is starting something tonight. He's going to help it tomorrow night. And He may finish it tomorrow. You may wake up in the morning. It's over. We may have a celebration. This is just the way it happens. I was preaching and say, boy, I didn't know you were so powerful. I'm not. Don't even go there. But this couple was in a meeting and they came up and said, Brother McMullen, we got some problems here with childbearing. Said, would you pray with us? And I said, God, I want you to make her fruitful. Oh, that's a powerful word. My brother, they were fruitful. And there were seven other women there that couldn't bear. They all had children that year. I didn't know a thing about it. I didn't know a thing about it. I went and preached for that family that I was going to just pray for them to be fruitful. I said, do you remember that sermon you preached? I said, well, I'm going to preach it tonight. He said, yeah, please preach that. So I said, I called them back up. I called that same couple back up. She said, I trembled. I said, oh, God, don't let him pray for me to be more fruitful. I prayed for her to be fruitful spiritually. She said, my heart, we can't handle it. I went back to that church and these ladies said, now, Brother McMullen, we got these kids. Now, what are we going to do with them? You know what in this building? This is not witchcraft. The devil can't heal you. He don't want to heal you. He don't want to make you whole. He wants to curse you. Keep you down. God wants you healed to give glory to God. It's going to happen this week. I'm going to tell you, the longer I'm preaching, Brother Green, the bolder I'm getting here. Praise God. Somebody needs to talk to that spirit right now. Let's pray with me. Come on. Devil, you're through here. You're out of business. In the name of Jesus, there's a healing going across this congregation right now. God, there's a healing in the homes of every man, every woman. Say, oh, brother, we heard that before. You sit there and do without, sir. It's that man that's going to receive this. Oh, my deliverance is in the house. Come on, deliverance is in the house. Praise God. Praise God. Nothing great mysterious about it. God just does it, brother. No great trumpets, no great display, no great anything. God just does it. You don't even know about it, but God does it. When I tell you that that miracle working power's in this building, you better hear me. You know what the devil was trying to do? He was trying to remove a family of faith off the face of the earth. Amen. You may be seated. I may be through. I don't know. Sometimes I get through and just keep preaching. I want to tell you something, folks. Failure is never final. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying. Everybody say, failure is never final. Somebody say, failure is never final. You need that to sink in your brain. I don't care where you are. There's enough left for you to start over. I don't care how low you are. There's enough left for you to get up. Hold your head up. God of heaven, I've made a mess, but here I come again. Failure is never final. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I wanted to say that. I wanted to say that God always leaves enough for a person to start over. Borrow not a few. When God's up to something big and you've got a small mind and you're running with people that's got small thinkings. Elijah said, go build me a cake and get me some water. And that widow said, you know what? I just got a handful and said, I'm going to go build a fire. I got two sticks and yada yada. I thought, my, what a fire. Two sticks. What a fire. Not even going to build a big fire. When you run with two stick people, you know what I'm doing? I'm not taking healing away from, but I'm taking superstars out of the picture. I'm taking a man that's majored on this out of the picture, and he's got to be there. He don't have to be there. And I hit something right there, and I hit a bad spirit. I would advise you, sir, humble yourself. That gift would work again if you would humble yourself. You give God the glory. You get out of the picture. God can do anything, anytime He wants to. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. One translation said, delivered them from an early grave. You know what's going on here tonight? God is sending out His word. Now, I know that ultimately was in Jesus' name. He sent His word. But I'm telling you, brother, the rhema, the preached word produces faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the preached, spoken, uttered word of the Lord. Somebody's faith is soaring right now. Change can only happen. Healing can only happen. Salvation can only happen in the context of hope. And if the devil can take all hope, the doctor said there's no hope. The doctor don't know. The longer I live, I'm sorry if we got medical people here. I respect you. But the longer I live, the more I know they don't know. They practice on us. And do not let them be the last word, the last say. This book here is the last say. Your man of God is the last say. Now, I've said enough tonight. This is what I want to do. I want anybody, we're not going to pray tonight, but I want somebody that has an incurable, unhealable disease situation in your home, it cannot be repaired. Don't let pride keep you back. I just want you to come stand with us. Tomorrow night, we're planting seeds here. Here they come. They're not ashamed. They're not ashamed. This here, these people right here is going to be healed in Jesus' name. Ramasada. Just come on if you need something. Just stand around here. Oh, you're waiting for everybody else to come. You should have been the first one. Pride. Come on, just come around here. Brother Jones, I believe the healing is starting tonight. Come on, folks. How many of you know God's a healer here tonight? You know what I'm looking at? Honest, sincere, transparent men and women. Receive the word, folks. The man said, Brother McMullen said, I'm healed. And all I said is, don't worry about it. Let faith talk to you. God would start that healing process without a man praying for you. Anoint them and lay hands on them. And sometime they're healed. But I'm just telling you, this is the way it works. Don't be surprised to wake up in the morning and the thing's gone. Don't be surprised to wake up in the morning and there's a healing. And there's a healing right in the house.
And he'll do
you know.
It again for you.
Pray for
you. He'll do it again. Just take a look where you are now and where you've been.
Come on, let's pray, folks. Let's pray, folks. Brother, care to pray for us? Come on, help us. Don't minimize this service, folks. Don't make fun of this service. I've watched this over and over and over. Used to at least once a month. It just happens. Come on.
Take a look where you are now and where you've been. Has the tear always come through? For you, he's the same now as then. You may not. You.